It is a blessing to be able to assemble ourselves together as God's children and worship Him in spirit and truth on the Lord's Day. I was asked earlier this week to address the subject of gossip. And with one particular thing in focus. We know, basically, we understand what the Bible has to say about the sin of gossip. But the question that I was asked was a very good question, and something that I believe is worthwhile for us to explore for a few moments this morning. And that is, where do we cross the line into gossip? Where do we cross the line between simply talking and talking about others in a way that is good and in a way that is right and in a way that is needed? Where do we actually cross the line into gossip? I think that's an excellent question. And it's something that pertains to all of us. Because all of us communicate. God has created man as a social being. And for the most part, there are a few exceptions, but for the most part, we like to socialize with others. We like to communicate with one another. And in this day and age, it's become even easier for us to communicate with each other, not just sitting down face to face or picking up a telephone and calling somebody, but social media has put communication with people across the world and even masses of people that we don't even know literally at our fingertips. And with a couple of touches on a screen and a click of a mouse or whatever kind of device you're using, you can send communication out. And, you know, just like talking, once it's out there, it's out there. It doesn't come back. And social media also has given us the opportunity to take what others have said and to pass them on to our network of friends. We just hit the share button, or we hit the forward button, and what somebody else has said, we can pass on to countless other people. The ability to communicate with one another brings some great blessings to us, but just like everything else that God has given us, Satan is able to take communication and use it as a tool for destruction. He's able to take our ability and our desire to communicate, and he's able to twist it and to use it in a way that brings pain and damage to other people. Now, there are many ways that we can sin with the tongue. One of them is the sin of gossip. Let's talk about that for a few moments this morning. Let's remember what we're looking at. We're looking at where that line is. When do we cross the line? When do we begin to gossip? To help us to understand where that line is, I believe it will be helpful for us, number one, to define exactly what gossip is. Do we understand just exactly what gossip is? We talked in our Bible class this morning about the benefit of a dictionary. And so let's start with some definitions from a dictionary in our study this morning. What is gossip? Webster's Dictionary defines gossip as the repeating of, quote, idle talk and rumors, especially about the private affairs of other people. Not all talk is gossip. Gossip is when we repeat idle talk, that is just useless talk. Talk that is out there, or when we repeat rumors, especially about things that are private. So gossip includes repeating something. It includes something that is private, something that needs to be kept private, and it includes idle talk or rumors. Well, I looked up the word rumor. What is a rumor? A rumor is, according to Webster's Dictionary, general talk not based on definite knowledge. An unconfirmed report, story, or statement in general circulation. There's the idea of repeating it. It's in general circulation, but a rumor is something that you don't know if it's true or not. It's not been substantiated. There's no facts, real facts behind it. It's just something that we've heard. And when it's about the private affairs of somebody else, then it's gossip. So that's what gossip is. That might help us to understand where that line is. Gossip is when we repeat something that we've heard about the private affairs of somebody else. We're not sure if it's true or not. It hasn't been confirmed. Unsubstantiated talk that's been circulating about the private affairs of someone else. Another word that goes along with gossip quite often is the word slander. Now, slander is different from gossip in this. Slander is when we knowingly repeat something that is a lie. We know it isn't true. We know that it is false, and we repeat it anyway, and the purpose is to destroy someone else's character. Now, that's slander. When we willingly tell a lie or spread a lie, and the purpose of that is to damage someone else's character, destroy someone else's character. Well, we know what the Bible says about lying. And a slander is a lie. We know what lying is. We know it's a sin. We know where liars go. All liars have their place in the fire that burns with lake and brimstone. We need to be very careful. There is that lying there with slander. It involves that which is not true. Gossip, though, can be the repeating of something that is true. Even though it's true, it still has to do with something that must be kept private, something that needs to be kept private. Here's something we need to understand, brethren. Just because something is true doesn't mean it needs to be repeated. Just because something is true doesn't mean that we need to shout it from the rooftop, or we need to whisper it in the ear, or we need to forward it in our social media, whatever format we may be using. Like any other sin, gossip brings pleasure and satisfaction to some people. There's the pleasure of seeing someone's face light up when they hear some juicy detail that they know they shouldn't be hearing, but they're getting to hear some private information. There's that satisfaction of hearing that sound on the other end of the phone when you say, oh, really? There's that satisfaction that is there. And so, just like any other sin, there's pleasure involved. Sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't, we know Satan would have been out of business a long time ago. So there is pleasure involved in gossip. But gossip also has destructive qualities to it. Gossip destroys, as we are going to see in just a moment. It's interesting, there are specific warnings against gossip and slander in the New Testament. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and at verse 13 about women becoming gossips and busybodies. And in Titus chapter 2 and at verse 3, Paul warned Titus about the older women not becoming slanderers. It's interesting that women are pointed out and focused upon in the New Testament, with regards to the sin of gossip and slander. That doesn't mean that men don't gossip. Matter of fact, I preached a sermon one time when we were living in Texas on the subject of gossip, and a man came forward and repented of the sin. So men are very much capable of engaging in the sin of gossip. We all are. We all have a mouth. We all communicate. We're all capable of this sin. Where's this line, though? Well, something else that may help us to understand where this line is, and when we've crossed it, is understanding what the Bible says the consequences of gossip are. What does gossip do? What damage is caused by gossip? Well, one, gossip reveals secrets. Remember the definition of gossip. It's idle talk, repeating idle talk or rumors, especially about the private affairs of others. Gossip reveals those private affairs. Gossip reveals those secrets. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, the New American Standard Version, all the other verses on the screen will be from the New King James Version. But I like the way the New American Standard Version renders this verse. It says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." Notice two things in this verse I'd like to point out. Number one, a gossip is a person who goes about doing this. They're not content just to sit at home and wait for someone to pass by. A gossip, a busybody, is someone who purposely sets out to talk about other people. They go about. They look to dispense their tales. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing accidental about gossip. It doesn't accidentally happen. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Secondly, notice what he's doing. He's revealing secrets. He is violating a trust. There's where you cross the line. It's when someone has told you something in confidence and you take that and you tell somebody else. That's where you've crossed the line. That's where you've engaged in gossip. You've taken something that has been told you in confidence, or something that a fact, a detail, that a friend trusts you to keep a secret, and you betray that trust. And you reveal that secret, and you shame that person before others. That's where that line is at. If it's been told you in confidence, if it is a secret, you need to keep it a secret. A gossip will reveal that for the satisfaction of hearing the person they told say, "Wow, I didn't know that." A true friend will keep a secret. A true friend will honor the trust that has been given to them. There's where that line is at. Secondly, the Bible tells us that gossip kindles strife. Think about kindling a fire. You get a fire started. Think about strife. Strife. People don't get along. People begin to argue with each other. People begin to fight with each other. How do you get that started? Tell some gossip. Reveal some secrets about somebody else. And then sit back and watch the fire burn. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 says, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." A talebearer is one who tells stories that ought not to be told. There's some things, as we said, some things simply don't need to be repeated. And the purpose of these stories that are told, it's not to inform people, it's not to warn people, but it's to get people stirred up and fighting. That's what a gossip does. A gossip likes to wind people up, put the pieces in place, and then sit back and watch the destruction. That's what a gossip does. That's when we've crossed that line. When we know we've set people at odds against each other, we've revealed secrets, we've revealed things that someone has said about somebody else over here, and when they find out, there's going to be a fight. That's what gossip does. It kindles strife, and goes even further than that to separate friends. An ungodly man digs up evil. Now, how much do you have to want something to go and to dig it up? Think of the effort you have to go through to get the shovel out and dig something up. How bad do you want it? A gossip wants those details, wants access to those secrets. An ungodly man digs up evil and it's on his lips like a burning fire. Gotta spread it, gotta share it, gotta get it out. A perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Gossip, tale-bearing, whispering are the tools used by the one who is intent on causing trouble. Digging up dirt on people, whispering it to a few individuals, and then just watching it burn. Watching it proceed. False tales and revealed secrets turn people against each other. And sometimes the damage that is caused by gossip is so harsh that it can destroy the closest of friendships. So how do we know when we've crossed that line between talking and gossiping? Well, what's the consequences of what we say? Does it kindle strife? Does it separate friends? Does it cause division? When we answer those questions, it helps us to know where that line is at. Now we can stop right here, we can pause right here, and we can ask the question, is it always wrong to talk about somebody else? Or turn it around, can it ever be okay to talk about somebody else? Because we want to make sure we don't engage in gossip. But is it ever okay to talk about someone else, even to talk about things that are not so flattering about somebody else? Is it ever okay to engage in speech like that? Well, the Lord did. The Lord did on two occasions. I see in the Gospels, the Lord warned his disciples about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Matthew chapter 16, At verses 5 and 6, it says, "Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.'" Beware of the leaven of these individuals. And they weren't there at the time. It was just his disciples. But here he is talking about somebody else. Now they take off thinking that the Lord's talking about bread. And the Lord said, "No, you've seen what I've done with the loaves and the fishes. I can make bread out of anything. I'm not talking about bread." Then verse 12 says, "Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Here's Jesus on two occasions talking about people who were not present. And he tells his disciples, "You beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You beware of their teaching, and you beware of their conduct, of their hypocrisy." Was Jesus engaged in gossip? Was he talking about people behind their backs? Well, remember what gossip is. Gossip is spreading rumors, unconfirmed facts, unconfirmed ideas, unconfirmed reports about the private affairs of others. Was the teaching and the conduct of the Pharisees and Sadducees private? The teaching certainly wasn't. They taught openly. And their conduct, remember what the Pharisees did, they did everything out in the open so that they could be seen by men. Jesus wasn't gossiping, not by the definition of gossip. He was warning his disciples about the danger of these certain individuals. How about Paul? Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy at chapter 4, and he warns Timothy about a specific individual, even naming him by name. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words." Now notice here, Paul is talking to Timothy and telling him about a specific individual, names him by name, and clarifies exactly who this is. Which Alexander? The coppersmith. This specific person. "Timothy, you beware of him. I want to warn you about him." Timothy is in the city of Ephesus when he receives this letter. Paul had been in Ephesus for 3 years. Paul knew the people there. And apparently, Alexander the coppersmith's rejection of the gospel and the efforts that he put forth to frustrate Paul and to keep him from spreading the gospel was not a private matter. This is a warning. This was a warning. "Timothy, here's a man who's going to hurt you. You be aware of him. And you beware of him. And you don't let him hinder you in your progress of the gospel." The book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians really is a handbook on church problems. And Paul, as he goes through the letter, he goes from one problem to another. Beginning in chapter 7, the Apostle Paul begins to address specific questions that the Corinthians had sent to him. But prior to chapter 7, and in chapters 1 through 6, Paul addresses some real problems in the church at Corinth. But look at how he found out about these problems. In chapter 1 and at verse 11, Paul says, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." Now they didn't write to the Apostle Paul and said, "You know what, we're on the verge of dividing into different parties here." They didn't write to the Apostle Paul and say, "You know what? We've got a man here in our fellowship that has his father's wife." That's in chapter 5. They didn't say, "You know what? We've got people here who are fornicating and taking each other to court." That's chapter 6. They didn't volunteer that information. But Paul found out about it because some people came to him from Chloe's household and they reported these things to the Apostle Paul. I heard a gospel preacher preach one time, and he condemned Chloe's household for being troublemakers. The Apostle Paul doesn't do any such thing. The Apostle Paul does not indicate anywhere that it was wrong for those of Chloe's household to tell Paul what was going on in Corinth, because these weren't unsubstantiated rumors. They were facts. And secondly, they weren't private matters. What a church does collectively is not private. It's very public. And the apostle needed to be told about these things. And when Paul addressed these things to the church in Corinth in these first six chapters, what's interesting, when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we see that the church has responded positively to his rebukes. They didn't say, listen, Chloe's household got it wrong. I don't know where you got your facts, but they're as wrong as could be. No, they knew those things were going on. And they responded positively to Paul's rebuke. Here's the point. No, it's not always sinful. It's not always gossip when we talk about others. These were not private matters. And it wasn't told in order to make the person telling them feel better. It was told to warn others. And it wasn't done in an effort to injure someone's character. It was done to warn others. These were warnings that needed to be sounded forth. Now, to take that principle and apply it to our lives today, brethren, takes a lot of wisdom. We would do well to spend some time thinking about what we're doing and praying about what we're about to do before we do it. But it isn't always wrong to talk about what others have done. It isn't always gossip when we talk about what others have done. Gossip is when we take something that may or may not be true, that's private and secret, and we share it for our own satisfaction. Now we're continuing on down the line. How is it that we know where this line is at? How can we know when we cross the line from talking to gossiping? What I want to end with, I want us to take a look at a number of questions that we would do well to ask ourselves before we repeat something. When someone says something to us and we have the urge to repeat it, we want to hit forward, we want to hit share, we want to spread that to others. Here's some questions. It would do us all some good to stop and ask these questions before we repeat something that we've heard. Number one, you think it'd be a given, but number one, is it true? This thing that I've heard, this thing that's been forwarded to me, I mean, after all, it was on the internet. It must be true, right? How many of us ever stop and ask the question, is this really true? This thing that I've heard, because you know what? I know this person, and it sure doesn't sound like them. It doesn't sound like their character. It doesn't sound like something they do, but it's juicy, so I'm going to go ahead and spread it. No, how many of us take the time to stop and ask the question, is this really true? There are two verses in the book of Proverbs that, again, I think are good refrigerator verses. Good verses to put up and to read often and to remember and live by. The first, Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Have you gotten all the facts? Before you've decided on your verdict, before you've passed sentence, have you bothered to get all the facts? You know there's three sides to every story, don't you? There's his side, and there's his side, and there's usually the truth somewhere in the middle. Have you gotten all the facts? Because it is shameful and it is foolish to respond immediately to something that you've just discovered. In the second passage, Proverbs 18, verse 17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Anybody can make a good case for something. Anybody can make a good case and make something sound right. How many times have we gone to get the other side of the story and hold on, here's some things I didn't know. Here's some things I didn't hear before. And what if I'd taken story one and run with it? before we repeat something, if it's important enough for us to repeat, if it's important enough for us to put our name to, for it to be seen on our account, don't we owe it to ourselves and to those who are involved to make sure we got all the facts straight before we share it? Number one, is it true? Because if it's not true, it's slander, and that's a lie. And we know that's a sin. Secondly, this thing that I want to repeat, this information that I've heard, this story that has been told to me, if I repeat it, is it going to build my brethren up, or is it going to tear them down? If I repeat this, if I join in sharing this, if I become a part of the rumor mill, is the result going to be that brethren are built up or torn down? Because the scriptures tell us, Romans 14 verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Gossip and slander bring anger and contention and strife. We saw that from the scriptures. The tools of the talebearer will never contribute to peace and edification among brethren. Our words have great power, both for good and for evil. We need to ask, which is going to be accomplished if I repeat this matter? Sometimes, as we've pointed out, sometimes negative things do need to be said about others. People need to be warned. Negative examples exist, and we can learn from those examples. However, great care and great wisdom needs to be shown, needs to be exercised when we talk about the misdeeds of another person. Even if they are true, we need to be very careful of how we would repeat that matter. Is it going to build up, or is it going to tear down? Let's ask that question before we repeat something. Third, there may be some situations in which we have to ask the question, have I talked to that person first? There's someone I need to talk to before I repeat this matter. I need to go to the person that it involves. I need to talk to them. Especially, Jesus says, if they've sinned against us. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Now, you and I both know good and well, a lot of times the way this verse reads is, if your brother sins against you, go and tell everybody except him. Don't ever talk to him about it. And whatever happens, happens. That's the way it happens a lot of times, isn't it? But the Bible tells us, the Lord tells us, someone sins against you, you go to him, and you take care of that matter between you and him alone. Remember again the definition of gossip. Private affairs. The telling of private affairs. Keep it private. Keep it private. There's one person I need to go talk to, and that's the person that's wronged me. I don't need to go talking to anybody else. But staying with this point, this is a good way to bring gossip to an end. Get in the habit of doing this. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, did you hear what brother so-and-so did? Say, you know what, that doesn't sound like him. Let you and I go talk to him about this. That's the last thing the gossip wants you to do. The last thing a talebearer wants you to do is investigate whether or not the facts are true. And if they know that that's what you're going to do, they're not going to come talk to you anymore. And I tell you, if the gossip doesn't have any customers, he or she's out of business. So put an end to it by saying, you know what, you're going to come talk to me about somebody else? Then know this, I'm going to go talk to them after you've talked to me. Now I'm going to tell them where I've heard it from. That'll put an end to it. That'll put an end to it. Fourth, another question I need to ask before I repeat something juicy that I've heard about somebody else's failure. Have I examined myself? Have I looked at myself to see what state I'm in before I share somebody else's faults with others? Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This passage is not teaching that none of us have the right to help somebody else become aware of faults in their lives or help somebody else correct their lives, because after all, we've all got something in our eye. None of us are perfect. This passage doesn't mean none of us are qualified to help somebody else. What this passage is talking about is the hypocrite who has glaring faults in his life, and he has the audacity to meddle in the affairs of somebody else's life? Are you kidding me? Jesus says that person is a hypocrite. So before I start talking about the faults of somebody else, I need to look at myself. You know, this is one of the tactics that people will use to deflect attention away from themselves. Oh yes, I'm not doing right. I've made mistakes. I have sins in my life, but look at that person over there. Everybody, look at that person over there. That's a tactic that's used to deflect attention off of my sin. Let's look at somebody else's sin. No, Jesus says, let's look at your sin and let's clean it up. And let's take care of that first. Before we look at the faults of others and spread the tales about the faults of others, we need to get our own house in order. Clean our own house before we help someone else clean up theirs. Here's another question, and this may truly, honestly strike at the heart of gossip. Why am I really wanting to repeat this? Why am I? Somebody has told me something. I've discovered something. I want to tell everybody in my address book on my phone. Why do I want to do it? Why am I wanting to engage in telling these rumors and talking about the private affairs of others? What's the motivation? Well, there's two different motivations an individual can take when they hear about the private affairs of somebody else. And it will result in two different actions on their part. Number one, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. This would be the attitude of the person that enjoys gossip. Give me the juicy details. I want to sink my teeth into them. Those tasty morsels. And the way this has been worded, the way this is worded in this text, I've always thought about little bitty pieces of candy. Candy corn. I mean, I could live on candy corn. Not long. But, and box, the good stuff. Not the generic stuff. I mean the good stuff. And you put it in your mouth. You don't chip your tooth on it because it's so hard. You bite down into it. Tasty morsels. I quit eating them because they started making them in Mexico. And I miss them. But there's that satisfaction there. Oh, you just got that one little bite of something. It just makes it all worthwhile. That's the way some people look at gossip. I've got to hear that. I've got to tell somebody that. There's just that tasty morsel. I've got to do it. Now, that's one attitude. You hear something, you hear some juicy detail about someone's private affairs. I know who's going to love hearing this. And we're going to have a time talking about this. Or it could be this reaction. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Some people act as if they have no choice but to repeat something. And as I said in the very beginning, just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. Think about Noah's sons who heard the report of his nakedness from their brother, and each of them took a blanket and walked backwards and covered up their father's nakedness without looking at him. That was love. Love covers the transgression. That doesn't mean ignore. Here's what it means. You find out, you discover that your friend, your loved one, has done something that would bring them much embarrassment, much shame, and would destroy their character. Out of your love for that person, you keep it quiet. You do not talk about the private affairs of your friend. You keep it private. You honor that trust. Remember what a gossip does. A gossip reveals secrets. A friend keeps secrets. Why am I really wanting to do this? Is my love for the pleasure of gossip more to me than my friend? Does it mean more to me than my friend does? Ask this question next time you're tempted to repeat something. Why do I want to do this? Why do I want to call and talk about it? Why do I want to post it? Why do I want to forward it? What's my motivation? And then finally, number 6, is this what I would want done to me? That's the golden rule, right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We wouldn't want people spreading lies about us. We wouldn't want people betraying our trust and airing our dirty laundry for everybody else to see, destroying our character, shaming us, bringing us embarrassment. Why would we do it to somebody else? I've lived in this life long enough to know what comes around goes around. That we do reap what we sow. And if we mistreat others, we will be mistreated ourselves. Is this how I would want someone to treat me? Now, if we ask these questions before we repeat something, I believe it will help us to see even more clearly, where's that line? Where's that line between talking about others and even saying things that need to be said and engaging in gossip, which is a sin, which destroys people's lives, and which we'll have to give an account for in judgment? Where is that line? We better find it. And we better stay as far on this side of it as we can. Not get up close to it, but stay as far away from gossip as we can. What are the chances that you and I can go through this life and not sin with our words? And not sin with our tongues? I'll tell you what the chances are. James chapter 3 and at verse 2. I don't want to paint a picture of gloom and doom, but James chapter 3 verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. It's quite unlikely we're going to go through this life without sinning with our words, without sinning with our mouths, without sinning with our tongues. But brethren, let's give attention to this thing called gossip. God said through Moses long ago, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. Those words may not be quoted verbatim in the New Testament, but there's plenty of admonitions found in the New Testament that show that this still stands in the Lord's church today. We're not to go about spreading tales and being gossips and busybodies in other people's affairs. I appreciate your kind attention that you've given to the things that we've had to say in our study this morning. It may be that a lesson like this does hit pretty close to home for you. I hope that you'll take it seriously. If you realize that you've got a problem with gossip, you realize you crossed that line, I hope you'll take that seriously and that you'll repent and you'll ask God to help you to do better. And that you'll take the time to ask these questions we've looked at before you repeat something else. Gossip needs to end with me. It needs to end with us. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, you need to know that a loving Savior has died for you. Jesus came to this world and He willingly died on a cross, gave up His life so that your sins could be forgiven in His blood. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to confess your faith, repent of your sins, and let us baptize you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that in the past, but you've walked away from the Lord, you'll find Him where you left Him. Come back to Him. He wants you back. That's what we see in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. The father is watching, waiting for the son to come back. Come back to the Lord by repenting of your sins, putting Him first in your life again. Get to receive the forgiveness of your sins and serve Him faithfully with us here. Whatever your need is of a spiritual nature, the invitation is for you. We ask you, if you need to come forward as together we stand and sing this song.